What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.
Today FM's Dermot and Dave.
Lads, you know the random bones you might see when you're walking along the beach and think nothing of? Well, maybe we should be having a closer look, as they could be from an actual dinosaur. Yes, here in Ireland, two fossil bones from two different species of dinosaurs were found on the east coast of County Antrim. And on the line to talk about these is paleontologist Dr. Mike Sims. Good morning, Dr. Mike.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
So yes. Before we get stuck into the dinosaurs, Ross from Friends obviously made paleontology pretty famous. Were you delighted when he appeared on the telly and suddenly put the spotlight on paleontology?
Well, I was a bit, although he was never the coolest of the Friends, was he? It must be said. But it was a good thing, yes. People had at least heard of them.
It certainly brought, paleontology, that word, to all of our vocabs. Mm. Come here, in Ireland, we've never found a dinosaur bone, have we?
We haven't, no. Well until
these ones,
quite a few years ago. And these two bones were actually found about 40 years ago, so there's a bit of a tale as to why we've only really announced it now. Mm. And they were found by a guy called Roger Byrne. He was a school teacher at Jordanstown up in County Antrim, a very keen fossil collector. And he, amongst all the fossils he had, there were a couple of bones which he thought, oh, they look a bit odd. And one of them was recognized as being from a dinosaur back in 1989, actually. But the thing is that you need an expert really to formally describe them, because I don't have the expertise to do it, so we got other people in to do it. And generally, the dinosaur experts, because there really weren't any in Ireland at the time, they had the bigger fish or dinosaurs to fry. So they weren't so interested in our little bones. So that's why there was a big gap between discovery and announcement, as it were.
And when you say there were no dinosaurs in Ireland, why is that? Did the island of Ireland actually exist as it is today?
It didn't. No, the bit of rock that we now call Ireland would have looked quite different and been a bit further south. So why are there no dinosaurs? Well, we can't blame St. Patrick for those as well. And the thing is that the problem is that most of the rock in Ireland is the wrong sort. It's mostly far too old to have any dinosaurs. It was deposited before dinosaurs existed. And there's some in the north up Giant's Causeway in the right. That's too young. And then there's about less than 1% of Ireland's surface area is right age rock. But it was all deposited in the wrong places, in deserts. Well, dinosaurs didn't really like deserts. Or out to the open sea. And dinosaurs didn't live at sea. So that's why they are so rare, that we just, wrong sort of rock, basically.
Mm, right. It's fascinating, because I just kind of assumed it was either they walked on it or they didn't. But as you said,
Well, that's a good thing, actually, because we know that at times during the Jurassic, what is now Ireland would have been dry land, and there would have been dinosaurs walking all over it. But we don't have any rock of that age, so we don't have those dinosaurs. So all we have is their ghosts, you might say. So there were lots here, but we just don't have their fossils, because the rocks were never deposited.
So what are the dinosaurs that the bones relate to? What kinds of creatures were they?
Well, there's two. There's one which is part of the upper leg bone of a kind of four-legged plant-eating dinosaur, a bit kind of armor-plated, a bit like a tank, called Scelidosaurus. All eight-year-old kids will know that one. They're very familiar with it. Mm-hmm. And the other bone, and they were both found at the same place by Roger Byrne on Isla Magee. So we thought for a long time they'll be from the same dinosaur, but it turned out the second bone is from a two-legged meat-eating dinosaur, a thing that we think might be related to an animal called Sarcosaurus, but it will be a distant ancestor of Tyrannosaurus Rex, which, of course, everybody's heard of.
So that's the one standing on its two legs with his little arms and all that.
The Sarcosaurus is like a T-Rex, just more sarcastic. It's just like, oh, I'd say we'll survive, all right, yeah.
Oh, dear. Sarcosaurus.
He's more the Chandler of the group.
Yeah.
So How would the bones have reached the coast of Antrim if, you know, as you said, if there's no rocks present for them to be there? How would they have gotten there?
It was, at that time, kind of large area of kind of northeast Ireland would have been under the sea, on the seabed. These must have been dinosaurs that were sort of swept out to sea, either alive or dead as corpses, and then sank to the seabed and being preserved, along with all these other marine fossils, all these sort of shells and things that were living in the sea at the time. So they're somewhere where they shouldn't ought to have been. They've been, so we're very lucky to have them at all. They're, they're ones that happen to get washed out to sea. You know, you get that occasionally with a cow falls in the river and off it goes down the Shannon or whatever and spat out into the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
It's the same sort of thing with dinosaurs.
We know so much, Mike, about dinosaurs, you know, and paleontologists like yourself have done such an amazing job at piecing together incredible information from tiny scraps that you've managed to find on planet Earth. What piece of information would you love to uncover that, as of yet, we don't know?
Oh, my goodness. Where do I start? Well, the bits of information, the problem with fossils is that most fossils are just the hard bits of bones, teeth, shells, and things like that. And it's not very often we see the soft bits. And an awful lot of animals are just soft bits. And so we don't see those. You know, there's all sorts of worms. And you might think, oh, worms are very exciting. But all sorts of animals are just soft bits. So I'd like to see everything, as it were, that was there, not just the bits that had hard, crunchy bits, tooth, teeth, bones, shells, and things. And that would fill in a lot of blanks in our picture, as it were.
Because often you do see, I don't know, headlines and things like, because obviously we have a perception effectively that dinosaurs were kind of, you know, upright lizards, basically, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But you do see, the, you know, the odd thing, we're like, oh, discovered dinosaurs were feathery and soft.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
you know, like, so.
That was the amazing thing, discovery back in the 90s, is that there was a suspicion that they might have been, that dinosaurs were related to birds. And then these amazing fossils found in China, where you had a everything. It was all flat, completely flat. It's like roadkill. But you had these dinosaur skeletons covered with feathers.
Mm.
And alongside them were birds, which were covered with the feathers as well. So that was an amazing, really amazing discovery. It gives us a whole new idea of what these things look like. You can even work out roughly what sort of colour patterns were on them. You know, that's another thing. You know, we'd like to know, what did dinosaurs really look like in terms of colour patterns? And they weren't all just grey.
Yeah, and then there's the kind of, this, obviously from Jurassic Park, the movies, we kind of have the roar of the T-Rex and all that kind of stuff. But in reality, do we know much about the vocalizations of dinosaurs?
No, and I think one of the things, that's another thing, you know, your question, what would you like? Yes, what do they sound like? I think since we know that birds were descended from dinosaurs, I suspect a lot of dinosaurs sounded like birds. So T-Rex probably sounded a bit pathetic, actually.
He walked out and tweeted at you and then ate your head.
It would be less threatening if he was just like whistling like a thrush, like a morning thrush.
Yes, it would have been quite a deep tweet, I think. But not roars. Not many animals actually roar. Yeah, lions and tigers, things like that. But most don't.
Yeah, well, particularly the things that are, I suppose, in so as we see them related, like certainly a crocodile, the kind of guttural low rumble that they do isn't exactly, you know, a terrifying roar thing. I don't want to be near them when they're doing it, but you know what I mean?
No.
Can I ask you a question here that's come in from Kyle in Swords, and he says, is Argentinosaurus or Ultrasaurus bigger? I'm having an argument for months with my four-year-old.
Oh, well, I would defer to the four-year-old every time. Definitely for you. Maybe, you know, try a 6 or 7 year old and they will be the definite authority on which is the biggest dinosaur, but they were both quite large, whereas the dinosaurs we got from Antrim are not
large.
They were about 3 meters long, each of them, so
the size of a very large cow.
Cow is pretty big, I suggest.
No, because that's from the tip of its nose to the end of its tail, so it's a Dexter cow with a long tail.
Right.
Or a small pony with a long tail.
Okay.
And our plating.
When you watch the Jurassic Park movies, do you spend your time going, not accurate, wouldn't have happened, that's wrong?
There's a bit of that, and the scale of the thing, sometimes you think, no, that's too big, no, that's too small. But the first one I saw, when it first Jurassic Park came out, in, oh, goodness, no, however it was, And just watching that scene where they first see the brachiosaurus, and I thought, oh my God, that's what they look like. Because that was the first time we'd really seen animation like that.
Mm.
So that was quite a moving moment for paleontologists, actually.
That's good
I'd
to
say
hear.
So, yeah. It was kind of like that when I saw Gladiator. I studied Greek and Roman archaeology.
Oh, right.
So when I saw Gladiator, I was like, oh my God, I want to live there. And I presume you have those moments where you would just give anything to go back in time and just stand there for like an hour and just watch what was happening.
Yes. I mean, my particular thing, I love ammonites. These are shelled creatures that lived in the sea in the Jurassic, with curly shells. And some of the shells are huge, like, you know, meter and a half across. And I would love to go back to a beach where these shells would just walk along the beach and there you come across this coiled shell a meter across, just lying there. And I thought, oh, wow, you know.
I'd like to go there and hide from all the terrifying animals who want to eat me. That's what I'd like to do.
How do paleontologists look on archaeologists? Is there a bit of rivalry there?
Well, actually, most people mistake us for archaeologists, and they say, no, they deal with the stuff on top, the gardening, as it were. No, I have nothing against archaeologists. Some of my best friends are archaeologists.
The gardener, historical gardeners. We heard what you said, Dr. Yeah. Mike Sims.
It's on, Mike.
Oh, dear.
Listen, Dr. Mike Sims, curator and paleontologist at the National Museums in Northern Ireland, thank you so much. It's great news that Antrim has got itself some dinosaurs. A Skeletosaurus and a Sarcosaurus.
Yeah, great.
Brilliant, thanks a million.
Pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye. See you, Mike.
Dermot and Dave. Listen live, on air, from 9 a.m. weekdays on Today FM.